So what could you want?
You'll never be able to guess.
Oh, but I can. You're going to wish to grow taller, aren't you?
No, don't! You can't say that to him!
There are so many soldiers who've called Lord Frieza a pipsqueak. Of course, our commander eliminated all of them.
Very wisely deduced, my subordinate. That is indeed my wish.
Really? That was actually the right answer?
I trust I won't have to worry about you telling anyone else.
Of course not, my lord.
What I want is to increase my height by 5 full centimeters.
Lights, camera, action. Welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour Films. As you all know, I'm Ross Bacon. I'm joined by my co-host, Mike McGuigan. Mike, say hi.
How's everyone doing?
And as you should know by now, we're two dudes drank talk about movies. Now, this week, we have a sort of break in the action, but not quite, because these movies are still very similar. But I'm going to let Mike introduce everything, because this was his idea for this week.
All right, so legendary mangaka Akira Toriyama passed away earlier this month, and I wanted to do an episode to honor him and talk about some of his works. And he is the creator of Dragon Ball Z. A lot of people might say that he is the Walt Disney equivalent for manga, at least in the Western United States. Now, you get some mangaka that come in with, like, Naruto, One Piece, that, like, match how popular he was. But Dragon Ball Z was really one of the earliest serialized anime that got really popular and kind of started the trend in the 90s. So I thought, since we were doing two movies that are virtually the same, we're kind of doing that with two movies who technically have the same villain, kind of.
Sort of. Yeah, sort of.
it's the same character, but done totally differently. So we're doing 1993's Dragon Ball Z, Legendary Broly, the Legendary Super Saiyan, the non-canon version that Akira Toriyama didn't technically write. He did design the character, I believe.
Where he's a chatty fucking Kathy.
Yeah. And then we do the 2018 Dragon Ball Super Broly, which is like a theatrical release. It's actually an adaptation of the manga. It actually had like a movie level budget in terms of anime movies.
Yeah, and he's significantly less talky in that one and a lot more screamy.
Yeah. So essentially, the 93 movie was so popular that Broly actually came back in two kind of sequels to the 93 movie, with Dragon Ball Z Return of Broly and then Dragon Ball Z Bio Broly.
Okay. Now that's like a planned trilogy or something, right?
What's that?
Like those three movies, like a planned trilogy?
They're not a planned trilogy. Broly was just so popular that they were just like, oh, let's make another movie with him.
Oh, I thought I read somewhere they were like a planned trilogy of movies.
I don't think okay. So, not to my knowledge.
Okay. But yeah, that's all of that is true. And my experience with these movies was very typical of how anime and me get along. But before we talk about any of that, we got to talk about what we're drinking. So, Mike, what do you got?
All right. So, we're recording on St. Patty's Day. I normally would go with an Irish beer, but I'm doing a Japanese style beer for this episode. So, I got Domo from Vinyl Brewing in Hamilton, which is a Japanese rice ale or Japanese rice lager. 4.7%, and I'm having it in my nice Japanese beer glass. Though I curse crowlers, 32-ounce crowlers. I don't know who designed them the way they are, but they are impossible to pour without spilling at least a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they are a ridiculous design. Like, how has no one come up with a better one?
That's all right. So the beer itself is pretty interesting. It's like there are definitely beer. You can taste that it was made with rice to an extent. Like, it tastes different from any lager you would try. That's, like, a traditional style. But I enjoy it.
All right. Yeah, and I am obviously because we are doing a couple Japanese films and we're saluting a Japanese legend, apparently. I didn't know. I have gone to the old standby of Japanese Natty Light, which is Asa. Is it Asai or is it
I think
Asahi?
it's acai.
Asai. So it's like acai bowls. It's like it's pronounced completely differently than how it looks. But now the funny part is on this label here, it says acai is super dry, is brewed with this precision to very high quality standards under the supervision of Japanese master brewers. But on the label here, it says it's a product of Italy. So there's that.
I owe that brewery a lot. The first leg of my trip to Japan, we found our way back to our Airbnb because there was a really weird billboard with a Japanese man smiling and giving really big smile, giving two thumbs up, and it just said acai super dry.
Yo, now this the taste of this was very familiar at first. I was like, wait a minute. Now that I see the product of Italy, and now I'm reading the fine print on the back, it says brewed and packaged in Italy by Birra Peroni SRL in Rome, Italy. This tastes just like a Peroni. I think it's that Simpsons gag of Bud Dry, Bud Duff Dry, Duff Light,
Yeah.
Duff Ultra, all coming out of one tube. I think that's the situation we got going on over there in Acai, Italy. But it's a standard 5.0 lager, you know. It's one of those. I'm sure it's a long day of work at wherever in Japan. You stop on your way home to a bar, and that's what you order. You know, that's your cheap beer. That's what you drink just to go home and deal with your life. You know. All right, Mike. So I was gonna try to figure out a way to like so we could like flip this episode so like I would come up with the
Yeah.
way to like divide this up, but the watching of the 93 one had me so bored. I like lost my will to live.
Not
So,
even its soundtrack could save it for Ross.
dude, okay. So just right off the bat, we're gonna have one category that's better soundtrack, and the 93 one wins. Simply for the fact that there is a Pantera song in it, and it happens at a pretty cool ass time, and it's Tens is the song, and that opening like slow bass line of that song is like really eerie and ominous, and it kicks in at a perfect part in the movie for it to be like it kind of like gets you all jacked up. You're like, oh, all right.
All right. So I did come up with a way to kind of break this down. So soundtrack was one of them. And I feel like let's just get into soundtrack, then we'll talk about the other categories since we already
Yeah,
started.
I mean, the winner is the 93 one. It
For
has
sure.
to be.
For sure. I saw Dragon Ball Super Broly in theaters when it came out. Pretty cool movie to
Nice.
see in theaters, actually. But the soundtrack's really fucking weird to me because, like, the only memorable part of it is like in the fight, there's like just a song just repeating the people who are fighting's name, and whoever is like currently winning the fight, that's whose name is repeating. I'm like, is this Super Smash Bros? What's happening here?
I think I noticed that. I was like, at one point, I remember watching this going, wait, what? What's happening with the music here? This doesn't seem
Now,
right. And I was like, ah, oh, fuck it, whatever.
I don't know if that's like a common thing in Japan where it's just like they make jingles for characters or stuff where they just repeat the name over and over again. Because I noticed it at a theme park where I was in line for a roller coaster and it was just like a theme for it and they just kept saying the roller coaster's name over and over again. And I went in
Nice.
line for another roller coaster and it was doing the same thing. I'm like, is this a trend here? Like, is everything Pokemon where it just says its own name?
Nice.
That
That would be fun, yeah. Very easy to identify things in Japan.
the convenience stores do it.
Nice. That's maybe it's a lot of like short-term memory in Japan. Everything's so go, go, go that you can't remember anything as it happens.
And like half the time it's like cutesy stuff too. Like the song is cutesy.
Right. Well, that was what there was a meme I saw, like if it was a reel, basically on Instagram, by these two dudes. It's Opal and Sky is their band, or a metal band, but they're two twin brothers. And basically, they make like funny like metal videos, like me metal meme videos. One of which, most recently, was breaking down the top five most metal anime songs. One of which was the second version of the Death Note theme
Oh
song.
yeah, that's a sick song.
And I was like, yeah, that song fucking rules. But the one thing I was not expecting in the 93 one was to suddenly hear Pantera in it.
Oh, that's I was trying to find the store in Japan that had a really fucking catchy theme. It was Don Quixote's. I don't know
Okay.
why they decided to name the store after Spanish conquistador, but you know.
Maybe he liked it there.
Right, and not even like isn't Don Quixote is actually he's a fictional Spanish.
He's not even real. I'm a real dude, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it was just a guy named Don Quixote that went there and like was a really good patron. So they just named it Don Quixote.
All right, so yeah, soundtrack, easy 93 win, might be the only win it gets.
Probably. But and that's well, that's the thing. Like with that soundtrack, and from what I can look up, it's really just the English dub soundtrack. Like apparently none of this stuff was in the
That
original.
type of soundtrack was very common with the English dubbed Dragon Ball Z movies.
Okay, because I was looking it up. I just randomly Googled because it was better than watching the movie. I randomly Googled, I was like, metal in Dragon Ball Z. And I came up with like a Reddit thread that listed all kinds of shit. And apparently Disturbed is like all over the place with
Oh
Dragon
yeah.
Ball Z. I was like, oh, Disturbed's a heavy presence. Interesting, interesting.
That's yeah, that's that is a common thing for 90s Dragon Ball movies.
But I mean, like, other than Pantera, obviously, Tens is the song. It's a great song for the situation. It's such an eerie fucking song, too. It's so great. But there's another band on the soundtrack called Haji's Kitchen. Haji's Kitchen is a metal band from Lewisville, Texas, apparently. At the time, they were like a brand new band because they formed in 92 and this came out in 93.
Now the
But
English dub version I think comes out later.
okay, so they might have had a little bit of a run at this point, but they've only had three albums, one of which was the 95 Haji's Kitchen. But a lot of the music in the 93 one is like 90s grunge music or like 90s metal music or an attempt at that by Japanese bands. And I was like, this soundtrack isn't terrible, especially knowing it's in 1993. I was like, okay,
I
this
know the
isn't
T. From
bad.
my understanding, I don't think any of the Dragon Ball Z movies got theatrical releases in the US at the very least. So I don't think the dubs got like I think they aired on Toonami, not.
I was gonna say, I'm trying to look up when the dub was released. But it looks like 2007 it might have made it. I don't know. 2003. There it is. That DVD and VHS in North America was 2003.
Okay.
So I'm guessing that's when they dubbed in the like American soundtrack, basically.
Yeah, now it's also possible that it aired a bit before that because I'm guessing it aired on, like, I think Cartoon Network probably had the rights with Toonami and stuff. So it probably aired on Toonami, then was made available on VHS and DVD.
That makes sense. And but the thing is, because the thing is, Tens is on the Great Southern Trendkill, which came out in 96. So it came out 3 years after that movie was released. So the English dub would obviously have to be after that. But yeah, I mean that soundtrack, I was like, this soundtrack is kind of cool. Like it's making me want to watch simply because I'm kind of like nodding my head to it. And I was like, all right, then Pantera hits, and I'm fully paying attention. I'm like, yes, this is the whole song. You get the whole song, but there's a lot of yelling over most of the second half of it. But I was like, okay, whatever. But then other songs kick in. I'm like, all right, this isn't terrible. This isn't terrible, but I couldn't pay attention to what was happening on screen by then because I was like, this is just
That's I was
stupid.
the last time I watched most of the Dragon Ball Z movies was when I was in like middle school. I mean, like the Z era Dragon Ball Z movies, not the Super era Dragon Ball Z movies that actually got like theatrical releases.
That sounds about right. All right. So before we jump into doing more categories, we're going to do a little segment I'm going to call Ross Asks Anime Questions. That's what we're going
Okay.
to do here. So, and this is going to be specifically involving Dragon Ball Z. All right. For one, is Goku always an idiot?
Yes.
Okay. And
Now,
he's.
there's he's sometimes smart when he's fighting, but
Okay.
like
Okay.
battle smarts, no actual smarts.
Okay. So he's mostly just like a goofball that is good
Yeah.
at fighting. Okay. He's also a monkey.
So Saiyans do grow a tail. Now it's very inconsistent on when they can. Sometimes the tail gets ripped off. Sometimes then some characters are able to regrow it for some reason. It's very inconsistent.
Because I saw a
But
lot of tails wrapped around as belts.
yes. Well, that's
Okay.
also a common thing was the tail was known to be a weak spot for Saiyans. Like that was a big thing in the original Dragon Ball. If someone grabbed Goku's tail, he would just be paralyzed, essentially.
Okay.
And if you look at Full Moon, they turn into a giant ape.
I was gonna say, so then there's that giant ape thing they keep talking about. It's like a werewolf kind of thing.
Kind of, yeah.
Okay. All right. So now this is gonna deal with this is gonna this these next couple of questions are gonna deal with like the surrounding crew around Goku and Vegeta. Vegeta is the other one.
Vegeta.
Okay, Vegeta. The cat, the dude that looks like a cat, isn't he a villain? Like purple one, isn't he a villain?
Oh,
The
yeah,
purple
Beerus.
like hairless cat dude, kind of like
Yeah.
Egyptian.
Well, kind of, not really.
Is he, I was gonna say, because he kept
He's a
saying like
villain
he's.
in the first Dragon Ball Super movie, but kind of becomes a mentor because
Okay.
he likes
Okay.
Earth's food so much. He doesn't want to destroy Earth because he likes Earth's food.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
But he's a god of destruction.
Yes, that's right. They do mention that at one point in this and the Dragon Ball Super One. All right. So then there's the dude Piccolo. What's his deal?
Originally was a so his dad was like the biggest villain in the original run of Dragon Ball, so before Dragon Ball Z.
Okay.
Goku kills his dad, which was Demon King Piccolo is his dad. So his dad
Sure.
has the ability to make offspring by just shooting eggs out of his mouth. So he puts all his power into one egg, shoots it out, that egg becomes Piccolo. Piccolo starts off kind of evil, eventually takes on, he kidnaps Gohan so he can train him to fight bigger people and kind of becomes more of a father to Gohan than Goku is because Goku spends most of his time dead or training.
Okay.
And
And
he's a good guy.
Gohan's the little dude that looks like Vegeta and Goku.
Yeah.
Okay. Who is the chick
He has the
from
purple gi and he's Goku.
It's mostly the black hair. Like
Yeah.
there's a straight up like straight up kind of flame hair, which is Vegeta.
Vegeta.
Goku's kind of goes all over the place, and then Gohan's, I guess, is kind of like Goku's. All right. Who's the chick from the Fifth Element in Dragon Ball Super? He's got like purple hair. It's kind of like poofed up a little bit. She's got like what looks to be like a Saturn's ring kind of dress kind of thing going on.
Oh, that's not a chick. That is Whis. He is the angel of Universe 7, which is the universe that Dragon Ball takes place in. And
Okay.
he is kind of there to keep, to be Beerus's, the god of destruction's attendant.
Okay. Now that has no relation to the person in the 93 one that's like fighting with them and like sending his energy or something. There's
No,
it's
are you
somebody's
thinking of
kid.
Trunks?
Yeah, so it's he's his hair's long, but it's like long white hair, like shoulder length white hair.
Yeah, that's Trunks. He is Vegeta's son from the future. You see Bulma holding a baby at the start of
Yes.
the blue-haired girl. She has a baby.
Yeah.
That's baby Trunks.
Okay.
So that's
Okay.
teen Trunks. He comes back from the future to fight androids.
Okay, sure. Sure. You can say any words you want right there, Mike. I'm just gonna be like, yeah, sure. That makes sense, I guess.
This is
But
fun. I like this game.
yeah. And then okay. So I have questions about Frieza. Now, A, why does he look like a dildo?
No one can confirm. But
Because then he turns into a
is a common thing to call him that even in I sent you the Dragon Ball Z abridged version of the movie.
no.
The first time Goku meets Frieza calls him "you big monkey," and Goku responds with "you big thing Chi Chi keeps in her underwear drawer."
Nice. All right, so his plan now, from what I gathered in a little bit of research, because I also gathered, I basically just Googled, "Explain this shit to me, Dragon Ball Z," and I got a Reddit thread which somebody broke it all down. I was like, okay, this is good. So the deal with the Dragon Balls is you get seven of them, you make a wish, a dragon grants your wish, and then they turn into rocks for like a year, and then you can do this all over again. Okay, so Frieza's plan, once he acquires all the Dragon Balls, is to wish to be 5 centimeters or just under 2 inches taller, because he wants to look like he's still growing, which clearly he's not because he's a little tiny dildo. So I guess if he's is if my question is, if he's still growing, it looks like he's still growing. Does that mean he's growing in power too, or at least perceived to be growing in power? Or
No, I think his
what's the deal with that?
actual reason is to find like a wife or something. Like
Oh, so
he's
there's a height requirement in Dragon Ball Z to become to get a wife.
like that. I
Okay.
if I remember correctly, I think that is the reasoning.
Okay. So the Japanese are the shortest people
Which
ever, and
completely doesn't make sense because you only see Frieza in his first form and his quote unquote final form, I think, in this movie.
it's
Wait,
white
no, I
and
think you
gold.
just see him in his final form, just the dildo form.
It's dildo white and gold. And but then like in the very beginning of Super, the 2018 one, you see him with like little horns. He's a little
Yeah.
kid, but he's got like little horns or something.
That's his first form. His second
Okay.
form, he looks very much like his first form with the little horns, but he like quadruples in height.
Okay. Because they did show like some sort of breakdown. Like I think I saw somewhere where he's like real tall at one
Yeah,
point, and
he
then they
has two forms where he's very tall.
okay. So now we're gonna get into the actual like Saiyan transformations that are
Yeah.
mostly in Super, because there's different
You pretty
levels of
much just
Super.
have Super Saiyan 1 in.
Yeah. Their hair turns yellow or like white in that one, and then they fight. Which
Yeah.
is basically just the premise of that entire movie,
As
like hair
Super
change fight.
Saiyan, yeah.
In Super, so there's what you go Super Saiyan turns you blonde.
Yes.
What turns you blue hair?
Okay, I'll break down the whole Super Saiyan
Okay,
transformation.
yeah.
All right, so there is Super Saiyan 1, which is the original Super Saiyan form, tried and true, first one to come out. Pretty self-explanatory. There are some sub-forms to Super Saiyan 1 that are explored in when like about the timeline of when the Broly movie takes place. In the actual Dragon Ball Z show, they're like some sub-forms, kind of. Not really, they're not important. What's most important is Gohan fights Cell, who is the real big bad of the TV show during the time period that the movie will take place. And he goes Super Saiyan 2, which basically looks like Super Saiyan, but your hair gets even more spiky. It
Okay.
Goku and Vegeta, pretty much not noticeable when they go Super Saiyan 2.
So, is your level of Saiyan judged by your level of Saiyan is judged by how pointy your hair is?
Pretty much.
Okay. So the colors don't really have anything to do with
Yeah, the colors come into play. We get there when we get there.
it. We're not there yet. We're at the spiky hair first.
Then there's Super Saiyan 3. Don't think that appears in nah, that doesn't appear in this. But Goku is like one of the only ones that can do Super Saiyan 3, and his hair just gets really long. Like
Okay, no, we didn't see that.
really freaking long.
Yeah, that was not in this. We go black natural, dyed blonde, blue, purple is another one that we get.
Reddish
purple or something like that. I don't know if my order is right.
The red is the next explanation.
Okay.
So red is Super Saiyan God. That doesn't show up in Dragon Ball Z at all. That starts in Super. And basically, there's like a whole ceremony to become Super Saiyan God. But that's theoretically above Super Saiyans 1, 2, and 3. Then you get into Super Saiyan Blue. That's what happens when you go Super Saiyan and you're using God Key. So you
what
get
is God Key?
What?
What is God Key?
So that is the godly energy. Beerus has God Key, Whis has God Key. So it's like the godly energy that you can get when you first turn into a Super Saiyan God. And then you use that energy to go Super Saiyan. And that's what gets you Super Saiyan Blue.
Okay.
So if Super Saiyan God is kind of equivalent to the base form, then Super Saiyan Blue is Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan. So it's like the blue is the godly equivalent to the yellow.
Okay. So it's a higher level of power. Yeah. All that. Okay. All right. So when at one point, and I noticed it in both of them, and I looked it up, apparently it's a thing. What exactly is the Kamehameha shit?
So that the old pervy dude?
Yeah.
That's his signature technique. He's who created that.
Okay, so he's only in the 93 one. He's not in the Dragon Ball Super one. It's the dude that looks like Dr. Robotnik.
Yeah.
Plus, what's his name? Like Wang in Tekken.
Yeah.
Because when they said Kamehameha, I'm like, that's a Hawaiian king. What the fuck are we doing with Kamehameha? Like what's Kamehameha? I mean, I know there's some Japanese obviously influence in Hawaii and blah blah blah. But I've never seen it go the other way. I've never seen Japan be like, you know what? We're adapting these Hawaiian words.
So half the people call it the Kamehameha wave because that's what it sounds like when they're using it.
The Kamehameha wave?
Yeah.
Kami. I like the Kami part. That's funny.
But I never actually looked up why it was named the Kamehameha wave.
I'm watching this Japanese anime and all of a sudden they're yelling this God King of Hawaii. And I'm like, wait, what is happening?
But essentially, the most widespread known technique in Dragon Ball Z, because Master Roshi trained Goku and Krillin when they were kids and taught them the Kamehameha wave and Yamcha. And then Gohan learns it, Goten learns it.
So it's like your entry level like white belt technique down the drain. Okay.
Not real. Like you got to be a master to learn it, but it's like the bread and butter technique.
Okay. All right. So now the easy one. I'm guessing this is the big one I had. What's the difference between Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Z Super?
Okay, so Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. There's no distinguishment in Japan. That only came about in the U.S. where we distinguish those two. But it's essentially the part of the story you're in. So it's like Dragon Ball comes first, Dragon Ball Z comes second, Dragon Ball Super comes third.
I was going to say, it's like a new chapter, basically, you know, that kind of thing.
There's also Dragon Ball GT, but we don't talk about that.
Okay. So, because one of the things I saw on the Reddit thread was, because it was like, explain it to me like I'm five, like whatever that, you know, rate is. But the one thing was like, basically there's not really seasons so much as there's story arcs that happen.
That it's arcs and sagas are what they're kind of.
Okay, so like basically there are
many arcs in a full saga. So it's like Dragon Ball has the Dragon Ball Saga, the World Tournament Saga, the Red Ribbon Army Saga, a second small world tournament saga, and then the King Piccolo Saga. Then Dragon Ball Z, you get the Saiyan Saga. That's where, like, Vegeta comes into it. You get the Frieza Saga, which is, like, the longest saga, the Cell Saga, and the Buu Saga.
I do find it funny that the longest saga is the one the dude that looks like a dildo.
Frieza is far and away the most popular villain in this, because like the Frieza saga was in Dragon Ball Z, and they brought Frieza back to life in Dragon Ball Super.
And I'll say he was pretty gangster. Like he like he's just like icing people. He's
He's
killing
basically,
planets.
that's basically who
Yeah,
he is.
I was like, I'm down for this. Like this dude's pretty cool. Like I mean, when he kind of disappears for most of the movie, I was for the most of the movie, I was like, eh, I kind of wish he was coming back and doing some evil shit, which he does. But I was like, I kind of want him to do some more evil shit. But
That's, I mean, Resurrect. So in Dragon Ball Super, Resurrection F is the dedicated Frieza movie, kind of.
okay. But I had another question. There was another question I had, and I can't remember. I just jumped right out of my head. But all right, whatever. So I'll think if I think of it, I'll think of it. All right. So now we're gonna compare the two. We're gonna put these two against each other. Mike, what do you got?
All right, so I'm not gonna have us compare like Goku, Vegeta, and them, because I feel like they don't like Vegeta's changed a bit, but like Goku doesn't change that much.
I was gonna say Vegeta's different
Yeah.
in the two movies. One of in Super, he's like friend, and in the 93 one, he's a dick.
So yeah,
He's a
that
pussy
kind of,
too.
so he starts off as an outright villain. He becomes like a reluctant ally,
And
and
also
of
a pussy.
what's that?
And also a pussy.
Yeah. Well, it turns out pussy is what ends up converting him to the good guys, because he marries Bulma.
I was gonna say because the dude's a cowardly fuck in the 93 when it and like for most of it, but that is nice that getting laid is what makes him a friend. I do enjoy that.
He ends up marrying like the richest woman on the planet, has a kid with her, and you know what? He has a pretty good life.
Good for him. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Yeah.
In fact, he becomes stronger than the God of Destruction at one point in the first movie with Beerus, because he
Nice.
hits Bulma, and then Vegeta just goes red with rage and just beats the shit out of him for like 30 seconds.
Okay. Oh, I just remember my question. So this is, because I remember you mentioned this before, this is a battle anime.
Yeah.
Okay, so that basically means we got people with power levels that fight each other, and that's about it. Okay,
The story's secondary to the fight, essentially.
because they spent a lot of time in the Super one talking about how Broly's power is like unchecked, basically. And like immeasurable, that kind of thing. And he's, you know, he's a, you know, he's the god among men, that kind of thing, or whatever. But
Yeah, there's a
he,
whole thing with the legendary Super Saiyan where it's like Super Saiyans were never heard of until Goku became a Super Saiyan. Then it turns out like every Saiyan became a Super Saiyan, and like, and Broly is considered like the prophesied Super Saiyan, the Saiyan that was just born with so much power that he
okay.
could be, that he basically did not have limits.
Okay. I gotcha. All right. So, how are we comparing these two?
All right, so we're going to compare which version of Broly we like better, because though they're like similar in name and power, they're completely different characters.
Okay.
We're going to do the fights. What fights were more enjoyable?
Okay.
We're going to do, we already did the soundtrack there. It's already in favor of 93. We're gonna really deep dive these stories and decide which is less stupid.
Okay.
And then I think we should look at the supporting cast, because the supporting cast is, and as I've been doing the supporting, I don't know if I should do the supporting cast and the setting as different categories, because I feel like the setting of the fights being, I don't want to do animation because I feel like that's so unfair in favor of the 2018 one that it's like a given.
It's like actual, you know, animation, whereas the 93 one is, you know, a
Like
cartoon
90s
strip.
animation has its charms and I think it looks cool in a lot of anime, but when the fights are the big things, the modern animation has it.
And that is one of the things I was much more able to be invested in the second one, is because all the 93 one has is just a bunch of like lines and bullshit. And then the super one was more of like actually stylized. I was like, oh, okay, this is better.
All right. So I think first we should, they have two completely different supporting casts from like the bigger group of characters. So I think we should start there. And I think we should start with Paragus, Broly's father, because he's his father in both, but again, pretty different character.
Yeah, he is a little bit, he is different. He is portrayed differently. In the 93 one, he's just kind of he's just a father figure. He's just a father, like, who's an asshole. And then in the third one, but he's also tricking Goku in that one, right?
Like, so, in the 93 one, he wants to lure Vegeta to this dying planet, make a fool of him, and then take out all of the people that would normally protect Earth so that he could go and rule there. So he's really kind of like, where Broly's like the force of nature villain, he's like the quote-unquote mastermind villain, even though he gets crushed and he's not very strong.
Yeah. And then in Super, he's like an abusive father, you know. He's like an abusive father who's raising like a caged animal, basically. Yeah. It's kind of like that movie Unleashed with Jet Li, where he's got that collar on him, but when the collar comes off, he goes crazy, you know.
Yeah, that's I like the 93 version of Paragus a bit better, even though I still think he's an idiot.
It's more of like an actual character. It's like he's got motivations and whatnot.
But then I think the side characters, so there's less good guys fighting with. It's like mostly Goku and Vegeta. Piccolo helps out a bit. Whereas in the 93 one, you get Trunks, you get Gohan, you get Krillin's there. Master Roshi and Oolong are there for comedic reasons. Oolong is the pig.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then obviously you get Frieza in the 2018 one, which is what is tipping 2018 heavily in the favor of the supporting cast.
Yeah, because like the whole thing kicks off because of this dude, and we get the background that he destroyed this entire planet and basically just didn't wait long enough for Vegeta and Goku to get back to it, you know? Like, he killed it while they were off-world, so they survived, so, like, which
Goku,
mistake.
Goku was a baby sent to conquer his first planet, which ends up being Earth. The reason he isn't naturally violent like most Saiyans is he falls and hits his head.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
In fact, Dragon Ball Z Abridged is like, they show Grandpa Gohan, which is like the person who raises Goku, meeting him. He's like, what should I name you? How about Clark? Would you like that, Clark? He's like, no, that sounds stupid. Maybe I should name you Goku.
Yeah, because he's been, and that's another thing I read. He's basically anime Superman, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's stupid. Well, what's his real name? It's like Krakatoa or some
Kakarot.
Shit. Kakarot, that's what
so it is. That's a common thing where it's like all Saiyans are like named after vegetables. Like if they were actually born on planet Vegeta, Kakarot, carrot, Vegeta, vegetable, Broly, broccoli, Paragus is what's it called?
Paragus.
Yeah, asparagus.
Oh, okay. Now it's all coming together. This is. I'm going to say it's dumb, but I kind of like it.
Well, so Akira Toriyama was known for, like, he had a stupid sense of humor, and he liked to work that into his writing. Like, the fact that the entire Broly movie in 2018 kicks off about Frieza wanting to grow 2 inches.
Yeah.
And not in a spot most guys would wish to grow 2 inches, where it actually means something.
Yeah, he wants to be 2 inches taller height-wise, yeah. But it's like, I mean, I get it. It's funny. Like, that stuff, it's like, now that I know that it was all, like, made after vegetables, it's like, okay, that makes it better. I mean, like, I enjoy this
had
more.
A sense of humor, for sure.
But that's funny. That's definitely funny. I do enjoy that. Because the way they play the height thing, it's kind of like I was waiting for, like, the, nah, I'm just kidding part. But no, they just keep going with it. I was like, oh, so this is, like, his legit plan. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. It's like dodgeball. Interesting. Let's see how it plays out. You know, old strategy, Cotton.
All right, now I want to talk. So the settings are very different, and they both have like where 93, the setting for the fight is like a planet about to be destroyed in a destroyed city. There's like a ticking clock and stuff like that. Where 2018, they're fighting on a tundra that turns into a volcanic area because of the battle.
Yeah. I mean, again, like I said, it's probably because of the animation of the 2018 one. I was much more invested in like the story of 2008, the 18 one, like where they were fighting all that. I thought it was cooler. But like the 93 one just, and it's probably because Broly in that one is very much treated, speaking of Superman, he's like Superman. Mm-hmm. He's untouchable. And whoever is fighting against him is almost instantly gets their ass kicked. And it was like, all right, there's better ways of doing this, and you're not showing me the better way to do this.
Where 2018 Broly, he has probably the most natural talent and raw power out of any character, but it's clear that he's not as experienced of a fighter. He has good fighting instincts, but doesn't have any tactics or anything like that. He loses to Vegeta initially because Vegeta has the experience. He can go Super Saiyan. He's a seasoned veteran compared to Broly.
And what I think what I like better about the 18 one is that his power, they mention his power being incredible when he's a baby and all that. I'm like, okay, they're setting up that he's, you know, super powerful, he's off the charts, all this stuff, but he shouldn't be.
To put that in perspective, I think they say he has a power level of like 10,000 as a baby. In the start of Dragon Ball Z, like where Vegeta first comes in and fights Goku, he reads his scouter to see what Goku's power, and it's over 8,000, and that's enough for him to crush his scouter and think that it's broken.
Okay. But, and like I liked with that in the 18 one is that, okay, you're getting the sense that, yeah, this baby's super powerful. This dude's going to be a threat. They send him off world because he's a threat. The thing is, when the fight starts to happen with the adult Broly, and Vegeta's fighting him and all that, and he beats him. But then Broly, like, powers up again and comes back. The thing is,
if Goku is like Superman, Broly's like the Hulk. The madder
that's what I was thinking.
The stronger he gets.
Yeah, and that's the thing, like, because there's the specific storyline I was thinking of was the Red Hulk storyline, where General Ross is the Red Hulk. It's his power is basically, obviously, it's like a Hulk. He gets the stronger, angrier he gets, the stronger he gets. But he's already incredibly strong, and he's stronger than the Hulk to start. But the thing is, with Broly, they at least do the thing where when he is fighting, he's learning how to fight back and adapting to the style. I was like, oh, okay. That's a nice little twist that, like, this dude's not just some hulking monster. He's actually got a power set where you fight him, he learns how to fight you back. And due to his power being so high, that's obviously a problem, because if you don't put him down right away, he will know how to beat you by the end of it, you know? And whereas the 93 one was just him beating the shit out of everybody. And it made the ending
so bad for the 93 one, because like, oh, these five guys fighting you at full power is doing nothing, but all of them tremendously weakened, giving their power to one guy, that's enough to one-shot you, essentially.
Yeah, I was, and that whole thing, and it's one of those things where that, I don't know, I don't know how to put it without it being a problematic statement. In the 93 one, where everyone's giving their power to Goku, I was like, this is the dumbest fucking thing I've ever seen. This is so stupid and dorky and annoying. I hate it. It's really dumb. Whereas in the 18 one, it's like, okay, everyone's getting their ass kicked, so they got to level up. The next level gets a decent fight, and then they lose, but they got to level up again. And it's like,
And
okay,
they
we got
do
to
the
keep leveling up.
fusion, which is a well-explored concept in Dragon Ball and is known to be very powerful. Like, it's not just like, oh, you're taking Goku and adding him to Vegeta. When you do a fusion, it's like an exponential boost.
And okay, I'm trying to remember what it was, but I feel like their little fusion dance thing that they
Yeah.
have to do where they touch fingers, I've seen that somewhere and I can't remember what it was. And it wasn't an anime, it was something completely different. And I remember seeing it, I was like, oh my God, I've seen this. And it was annoying the shit out of me that I couldn't remember where else I saw this. And I was like, oh, and still, I still can't figure out where I saw it. But it's like, I know I've seen this before. But even that was like kind of funny because they couldn't match, they had to match up like perfectly. If their
Yeah.
fingers were slightly off, there
And then
was
they
some
become
weird thing that
fat
happened.
and are super skinny and
Right, there was some weird like side effect that I was like, hey, that's interesting. That's fun. At least they're doing something different
yeah.
to try to come at this dude. It's a strategy thing. And whereas in the 93 one, it's just punch, punch, punch. He's too strong. He's talking shit. Punch, 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 whatever. And I was
There's
so
a
bored.
meteor coming. We got to get out of here. Punch, punch, punch.
Punch, punch, punch. And I was so damn bored. But especially by the time they start, Vegeta starts saying, like, no, I'm a prince. Why would I give my power to a lesser dude? I'm like, dude, you're all gonna die if you don't. What is the what why is your pride stopping you? You know? It's like
Vegeta is
you're
known
gonna
to be
die.
very prideful.
I'll just say it's like you're gonna die. But in Super, there's more of a by the sent this given the fact that Vegeta is like a almost like a brother best friend to Goku, it makes it better. Because then they have that like odd couple kind of pairing. So for them to do the fusion thing, Vegeta doesn't want to do it, but Goku does, and it makes it more compelling to watch.
So they've actually used fusion before in Dragon Ball Z
Okay.
to fight Boo, but they use a different. So there's actually two different kinds of fusions in Dragon Ball Z. There's the fusion dance, which is a
Right.
temporary fusion, and then there's the gods of the universe are called Kais, and they have these earrings called the Patara earrings. If they give them to you and one person puts one on their right ear, the other person puts theirs on their left ear, it becomes a more permanent styled fusion. Now, it's funny because when they do the fusion doing the dance, they become Gogeta. If they
Okay.
do the fusion doing the Patara earrings, they become Vegito.
Okay. Sure. But yeah, it was. Oh, I mean, it was like it's so stupid. I was trying to think of what it was, but I was like, you know what? It's not bad. This is interesting. It's not. I'm watching this, and I'm not like, I'm not. It's not cringy. I'm like, okay, this is kind of fun. But in the 93 one, when they're all like, oh, my power, I'm like, this is so fucking cringe. Like, oh God, this is bad. You know, this is so bad.
Now,
If this were 1993, I would have been looking at the TV and be like, this is so gay. You know, this is so gay. But it's not 93, so I wasn't screaming.
it's funny. So there is a technique that Goku uses that's like kind of like the give me your power technique. It's called the spirit bomb. Besides the Kamehameha wave, the spirit bomb is like the most famous technique in Dragon Ball.
Okay.
And it's
Okay.
hilarious because it's at about a one, it only works 33% of the time, roughly, in canonical material.
60% of the time, it works every time.
So he uses it against Vegeta. Well, the first time he uses it, he just collects energy. It's almost like collecting nature energy. He co collects energy from all the living, like trees and stuff, and makes, like, say, like a beach ball size spirit bomb and launches it at Vegeta.
Sure. All
Then
right.
he makes a giant one where he collects the energy from an entire planet to verse Frieza the first time. Doesn't work.
Of course. Of course.
And then he makes an even bigger one, collecting energy from like a planet-sized one, collecting energy from everyone on on Earth, every like, and it finally works at beating Boo.
Boo. I love it. His name is Boo.
Right,
But
he gets reborn as a good, like they wish to bring him back as like a good person. You know what that good person's name is? Oob.
Oob? Oob? Really? Oh, come on, man. Boo and Oob. Perfect. It's like Superman and Bizarro Superman. But, oh man. All right. So, I mean, I feel like this one obviously super gets the point.
Yeah.
Why not? All right. So, what's next?
All right, let's talk about the like I guess we kind of Super's getting a couple points there because I feel like we also talked about the fights a bit.
Yeah. And we really did. It was the animation one, too.
Nah, I said just throw the animation out because that was so clearly in favor of like the soundtrack was clearly in favor of 93, but 93 needed at least one point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. You throw Pantera on your soundtrack, your movie could be complete hot garbage. Like that is, and you're gonna win that point. Especially picking a song like Pens. I mean, it's like they didn't pick
And they actually,
Boston.
it's not like it's just there. They use it well with the scene.
Yeah, it's like they didn't pick Cowboys from Hell. They didn't pick a like a mainstream quote unquote Pantera song. They picked one that is absolutely atmosphere specific for that scene. I was like, this whoever put these together was a Pantera fan. It was like, I know the perfect song for this scene, and it's absolutely dense.
Yeah. So fight and fight location will go to and like location for the fight will both go to Super. So 2-1.
Yeah,
Or three to
yeah,
one because we also did the supporting cast. So let's do a beer check-in.
yeah. Yeah, let's do.
All right, so I'm a big fan of Vinyl Brewing. It's in Hamilton. I went there for the first time today. It has a cool vibe and stuff. And this wasn't even my favorite beer there. I just got it because it fit the theme of the episode more.
I got you. I got you. Yeah, my Japanese Natty Light, or my apparently my Japanese Peroni, Asahi or Asahi, however you pronounce it. It's what it is. It's Japanese Peroni. It's Japanese Natty Light. It's an easy drink, and I happen to grab three of them. And I grabbed a six pack from Wegmans, which. Definitely hate going to Wegmans to do that because they don't have the greatest selection, but I was
Yeah.
at least glad they had those, you know. But yeah, it's good and not terrible. You know, there's better, like Kirin's better, but couldn't get a hold of that. And apparently I'm hoping Kirin's actually brewed in Japan, you know, as opposed to Italy and just being a rebottled Peroni. All right, so what else we got? What's next?
All right. So I think we should get into which version of Broly we prefer.
That sounds good. All right. So basically, 93 version is just at first, he's like a quiet dude that turns into a chatty Cathy asshole. And Super, he's like I said, Jet Li's unleashed. He's like a creature, he's an animal that has a shock collar that basically overcomes all that, essentially.
So the 93 one is hilarious because you find out the reason that Goku's presence makes him so angry, the mind control crown thing doesn't work on him anymore, is because Goku cried next to him as a baby.
Sure. Okay. That makes total sense.
That is the entire reason he hates Goku. Because he would not stop crying next to him as a baby.
I can understand that. I can definitely understand that, you know.
Which is hilarious because
That's
in the Dragon Ball Z abridged version, Paragus explains this to Vegeta. He's like, but that's dumb. But he's so cool. But he's just a big baby.
sure. See, these are the situations in anime where I'm just like, okay, moving on, I guess.
He's like, he's so cool, but that's so dumb.
Right. It's so dumb. It's like Benoit Blanc. It's so dumb.
But yeah, and then he's basically, I guess, just like a psychopath because like he's just like, here I go killing again when he's
Yep.
not.
Yep. Here I, oh boy, here I go killing again.
That's
from
like
Bakugo's
Arrogance was
uncle.
more of a he was more like, all right, I'm proud my son's really fucking strong. I gotta try to make sure he doesn't kill everyone, though.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the version of Broly, obviously, I prefer is the one in Super because it's a real character, you know? It's
And
there's
he
a
continues to
backstory.
be in the story after the movie.
Yeah, there's a backstory. There's a reason why he's the way he is. There's a reason why he can power up the way he does and why he's such a formidable opponent for these guys, all that. Whereas in 93, it's just
Which
like, yeah, in 93, it's just like, oh, he fights and you can't beat him. Okay.
that they gives
That's
you
it.
the backstory of like King Vegeta trying to kill him as a baby. And like they just throw like King Vegeta goes to stab him, and then they just throw him in a hole. Again, Dragon Ball Z Abridged does that scene too, and Vegeta just like tries to stab him, and then shows the knife breaking. He's like, "Give me a better knife."
Right. Nice. Yep,
"Screw it, just throw him in a hole."
there you go. Yeah, holes are always good. Throw them in a hole. That's it always works, you know?
But
But
yeah, so Dragon Ball Super, he basically grew up on a super not habitable planet. He has just a lot of raw power and talent for fighting, and is kind of like they just try to set him off and aim him at who they want him to kill.
yeah, he's just a weapon. He's like Rosie in Point Break. He's a mechanism, man. You know, that's all it is.
And
But
eventually Goku gets through to him where he's like, dude, you don't have to live that way. And eventually he's like, oh, yes, I don't.
yeah, and that was the other thing I read there, where it's basically like for Dragon Ball, it's like Goku fights somebody and they become friends.
Yeah.
Goku fights somebody and they become friends. So I was like, okay. So now here it's like there, because at the end of Super, Goku shows up being the dumbass that he is. He's like, here's a house out of a hill or whatever. It's stacked with food. I'll come back to spar with him, you know, every now and then. And all right, catch you later. Bye. You know.
That it was a big thing, and so like you go through it, it's like him and Krillin were more childhood rivals, but they become best friends. He fights Tien, they become friends. He fights Piccolo, they become friends. He fights Vegeta, it takes a while, they become friends. Then there's
Friends.
Frieza, who is irredeemably Space Hitler, they don't become friends. Then
Yeah.
there's Cell, who's like an android that just wants to destroy the planet. They aren't friends, but like they have a mutual. Cell actually dies and doesn't come back.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to become friends with Space Hitler. It really is. It's hard to become friends, especially when he looks like a dildo, you know? But all right, so Point Super again. What's next?
Yo, I'm running the ending. We got to compare the endings.
So, happy ending. It's Super, basically.
Or let not say endings, how they eventually beat Broly.
Okay. So we got give me your power, and then we have.
Doesn't even make sense because realistically, you think about how much power they could be sending Goku, and Goku at full power should be stronger than Goku with their power at the power that they are currently at after being used to, as Broly's wrecking balls to destroy an already destroyed city.
Right. Yeah. And then, I mean, and then in Super, it's like, do they like teleport away? Like, they teleport him away, I think it was.
Yeah.
So they come up with an alternative to fighting method of getting rid of him. And it's like, okay, all right. Like, it's a good setup to keep the story going, as opposed to, sure, let's just finish him. You know, it's
Well,
like,
that's because Broly
okay.
isn't an out. He's not evil in Super. He's just not the smartest or doesn't have the most life experience and is misdirected.
He's an untrained dog, basically, in Super. Can't control. He's like an infant vampire. Like, he can't control his rage and his powers. But when you do get through to him, it's like, okay,
Not bad, dude.
you can at least stop him. And yeah, he's maybe misguided, but It's because of his dad, you know. It's all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, again, by virtue of it being a better movie, it's got to go to Super because it's an actual story told there, as opposed to and this is probably indicative of a good like little nutshell of why anime doesn't appeal to me, because the 93 version is basically just stupid fighting and bad animation. And that's kind of what I associate with all of this shit. And most of the stuff I hear, I'm like, oh, it sounds exactly like that. This just sounds
What
so
you really need
dumb.
to get into is like, from my recollection, besides like Ghost Stories dub, which is just hilarious.
Hilarious. One of the greatest things that's ever happened. I will admit, it was one of the greatest things that's ever happened.
One anime that you seem to actually kind of enjoy was Devilman Crybaby.
Yes, because that was intense, and like some wild shit was going on in that. So that was fun.
You might need to get more into like shorter form anime where it's like most it's like 10 episodes or like a contained story in a movie. I feel like you might like Akira.
I've seen Akira. I've seen Akira. Yeah, it's a very it's an the problem. Okay, the problem I have with Akira is the animation. But it's again, it's the 80s, right? So it's not, I'm not expecting modern animation, but it's fine. It's good enough. But the story of that is like, okay, that story's not bad. I'm fine with the story. It comes to a logical conclusion. All of this stuff is good. I'm like, okay, Akira is, I can also see its influence on all kinds of other shit too. So I'm like, okay, so there's Akira. That is a standalone movie. I'm down with that. Like, I'm cool with that. And then there's something like Death Note, where it's like, okay, there's an interesting premise going on here. It's like a detective story. It's all kinds of shit. But when it comes to stuff like Dragon Ball Z, and then what's the one that's been running forever? Is that One
One
Piece or
Piece.
One Punch or something like
One
that? Whatever
Piece.
it's called. It's got like thousands of episodes or something like that. So it's like, A, where the hell do I jump in? I'm not starting from the beginning. And like, C, all of this shit just seems like children's cartoons to me. That's what it seems like. And again, I'm not bashing children's cartoons. I was a kid of the 80s and 90s, early 90s. I was raised on Saturday morning cartoons. They were amazing. They had some of the craziest shit you can think of. Definitely wouldn't be for kids today. But for some reason, the anime side of it does not appeal to me. And I can't really get over, I think it's the animation. It's the quality of animation. Had the shitty quality not existed, I might be tempted to be a fan. I might be, but it's the shitty animation that really holds it up for, it ruins it for everything else.
That's fair. All right. So, another point for Super. Now we got to decide what plot is less stupid because they're both pretty stupid.
I mean, yeah, this one might have to go to 93 simply because it's a very simple, stupid plot, but it also doesn't have the dropped storyline that I want to see continued, and that is the Frieza wanting to be taller story. That goes nowhere. And I was like, come on, man, I need to see this. I need to see this happen more. I want to see the results of this stupid wish.
Imagine that he says, "I want to grow 2 inches," and he adds like the dragon adds 2 inches to his tail.
Frick. It's a humorous specific. Yeah, it's like a needful things devil like comp like contract here. It's like you didn't specify.
I would agree. I think 93 kind of gets that point, but like also Broly's in his entire reason for hating Goku is Goku cried next to him.
That's such a dumbass reason. But still, it's like I have a weird part of me wants to respect it for being so stupid to create this character. And I was like, wow, that is the dumbest motivation I've ever heard, but it spawned an entire like arc and a character for this guy. It's like I almost respect it.
Yeah, I guess I'll give the pity point to 93 there.
Yeah. I mean, it's all, the only thing the 93 one has going for it is Pantera. That is the only thing it has going for it.
And the abridged version, because the abridged version is fucking hilarious.
Yeah, the first like 5 or 6 minutes or so that I watched of that video, it was pretty funny. But I mean, it's no Ghost Stories dub, which was again phenomenal. But yeah, it's shit like that. Like, I feel like if I saw more of shit like Ghost Stories and stuff like that, I'm like, okay, maybe I can ease into it and see what the real stuff is like. But
Ghost
it's
Stories is one of one.
oh yeah, absolutely. But
Especially because it came from an official studio. Dragon Ball Z Abridged was a YouTube channel, and it was just, it was talented voice actors and stuff, but it was there to be specifically like a funny version of Dragon Ball Z.
It's
Like
like the bad lip
Ghost Stories
reading
was
it.
a legitimate dub. That is the dub. There's no other dub. That's it.
It's like the bad lip reading of
Yeah.
anime, you know? And but it's again, it's like, like there was parts of me when I'm watching this now, the 2018 when I got through, I'm like, all right, this is something. But the
And
93
you
one, there are
had the
parts.
prior knowledge of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, but like with the 93 one, because I watched it second.
Yeah.
Like it was flooding back to like our YouTube days of when we were trying to like force each other to watch it. I'm like,
Yeah.
what the fuck is Mike making me watch here? This goddamn shit. Oh God, fuck Mike. I'm gonna kill him. I swear to God. And then that Pantera song happens, and I was like, oh wait, is this gonna get good? And then it does not. And then
Nope.
it does not.
Nope. Because I was like excited to rewatch it because the last time I watched it was in like middle school, and I'm like, Broly's badass, yeah. And I'm watching this, I'm like, oh, I ruined a childhood memory, didn't I?
Poor memory turned black. You know? I was like, this is no good. But all right, so yeah, so
I
this.
should have made you watch Dragon Ball Z Fusion Reborn. Literal Hitler gets brought back to life in that.
Ooh, fun. But so Dragon Ball Super wins that one. So this has been our very special episode dedicated to what's the name of Corey Toriyama?
Akira Toriyama.
Correct, Akira Toriyama. So that has been that. That's been our little break in the action. But next week we resume on track unless some other major anime guy dies and they have a very similar pair of movies that we can jump in there as well. But who knows? I think we should stick with our schedule for the moment. So Mike, before we reveal that, where can people find us on the internet?
All right, for your streaming pleasure, you find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, just about anywhere else you get your podcast from. You also find us on Instagram and Facebook at Happy Hour and Happy Hour Films Podcast. Go like
Yep.
and subscribe to our shit.
Yeah, you can find us where you find us, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So we are getting back into movies that are basically the same, our regular scheduled programming. This time, though, we are getting into two dudes who had lived their lives on film. One of which, if I remember correctly, doesn't know it until the end. The other of which is very aware that it's going on. So we are going to be talking about The Truman Show. And we're going to be talking about Ed TV, which is a Jim Carrey joint versus, I believe, a Matthew McConaughey joint, I think is what it was. But yeah, so we're going to do reality TV at its finest. And that will be for next week when we do a TV and Truman Show. So until then, I have been Ross Bacon.
I've been Mike McGuigan.
See you guys next time. So long.